Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, still Reaction Monday, still reacting to the Texans' loss in Jacksonville, 17-10 versus the Jags. Your Texans 0-3, one of six teams that have gone 0-3 to this point. In fact, do you know who these teams are?
Tennessee Titans.
That is correct.
I would say New Orleans Saints.
That is correct. You have two.
I'm not looking.
I just saw a standings.
No, I called it up to verify later. But yeah. I would say, okay, Titans, Saints.
Correct.
Texans.
Yes.
Dolphins.
Oh, of course. Dolphins.
Correct.
Who are the other two, Figgy? Off the top of your head. I know it's probably an obvious one that we're missing here. No, not Falcons, is it? No. Who is it?
Texans.
They're both. Well, he's got those. They're both in the same metropolitan area. In fact, they play in the same stadium.
Oh, that would be Jets Cowboys. And Giants.
There you go. Jets and Giants. Yeah.
Jets and Giants.
So
I felt bad for the Jets yesterday.
Did you?
I did.
They wasted that good old that good old showcase of dancing that Aaron Glenn was doing on the sideline.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Wasted it.
And then, actually, I can bring up, I don't want to put this on you, a tweet that I just saw. Which is not us saying.
Oh yeah,
this.
No. I'll actually go on this one. Yeah, I'll go with this.
This is not us saying this, but they were talking about Cam Scataboo, who is on the winless Giants. Somebody tweeted. I've never heard this term before. Tell me if you have. So there's two types of white running backs in the NFL: the cerebral thinkers like Christian McCaffrey, and the crayon eaters like Cam Scataboo.
He's such a meathead. Like I saw after last
crayon
week.
Eaters.
I don't think this was this week. I think it was after last week. Brian Daboll is in like media, and Scataboo's like walking by making noise. Like this is, I mean, I don't even think you'd do this in college or anything. But I'm just like, come on, dog. But that's who he is. He like Daboll is clearly, mind you, 2 weeks into the season, he's like, yeah, that's Cam. Like just like, what am I supposed to do about this?
When did they draft him? Like what round?
What
did he
round
fall
was
in?
He?
Was he like a fourth?
I think he was a fourth, to be honest. But boy, he doesn't care.
No, what are you doing right now? Hold on. No, what's happening in your brain right now, Finn?
No, I was thinking because everybody always talk about, you could get a running back in the fourth round and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking like, damn, I felt like we never
fourth
get
round,
a running
back. 105 overall.
Hey, I remember things.
I feel like we never get one of those running backs you could just find in the fourth round.
Eater. I love that. I'm going to steal that. But the thing is, he's one of those guys, and we know what they're trying to reference here, just a guy that does football. You know, I do football. That guy. And
you're saying he's kind of a Gronkowski? Is that what we're doing here?
Gronk do football. One of those guys that knows what the risk is, acknowledges the risk, and doesn't care. Like, yeah, I'm going to lead with my head. Doesn't care.
He does run hard. I can say that after watching watching Sunday Night Football. He does indeed run hard. All right. Do you have concerns about Derek Stingley? I want to ask this. I mean, because I think also defense in general is something that we can talk about. Because I do wonder if there is a larger conversation that needs to be had. And I feel dirty even saying this because, again, I don't think this defense has been bad. They clearly have not been, like, elite or great in the way that you want them to be, even though they've only allowed 17 points per game, which is good for fifth best in the league, while you still have three losses. But the margins are so slim for them because of the ways that the offseason has gone. And we'll talk more about that as the week goes. But it feels like there's still some things that make me that give me some question with this defense. Like, this is supposed to be a turnover defense. It needs to be a turnover defense to reach the heights that it reached last year and maybe even find new ones. You've had two turnovers to this point. Mm-hmm. One is an Aziz, had on ball fumble, forced fumble, and the other one is that interception that you see from Jalen Petrie yesterday, which I want to give him his credit. He baited mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence. That's an awful pass by Trevor Lawrence. Like, yeah. CJ and Trevor Lawrence was doing the Spider-Man meme yesterday mm-hmm. when yeah, it came to interceptions. And so I do wonder, like, do you have any concerns about their ability to get interceptions? Because it feels like that is less available here than it seems like it should be.
I think everybody should at least, maybe not concern, but just note that, and we've said it since the preseason, just because they had a lot of turnovers last year doesn't mean a damn thing this year. It's just the way it goes. Of all the things that are almost impossible to explain in the NFL and sports in general, is 1 year a team is just going to get a lot of turnovers, and the very next year they just might not.
So you don't know.
They just might not.
So you're not in the place where maybe this is just a slow start. Are you? You're leaning to the idea that turnovers aren't sticky, which I mean that is a popular thought in the world of like a sports, especially when mm-hmm. it comes to like statistics and stuff. That's where you lean, is that maybe this is just not sticky, and we might have a less turnover season.
It just might be one of those years. But I also feel, you know, a lot of times in the real world, people say under promise, over deliver. Right? We've all heard that. I think they've overpromised and under-delivered. They're good, but this isn't what we expected them to deliver just in general on defense, and in particular in the secondary. I mean, Kalen Bullock, boy, what a leap he's going to take. Hadn't done it. You know, Kamari Lassiter, that guy might be, you know, that might be, you know, two bookend, you know, all-pro, Pro Bowl-type cornerbacks. Hadn't done it. You know, Jalen Petrie is getting exposed a lot more. He had the pick. But he's getting exposed a lot more when we thought, okay, that's going to be, you know, he's getting better and all that. And it still might happen, but they have under-delivered. There's no question.
Yeah, and I feel bad about this because this has still been a pretty good defense. But particularly when it came to takeaways, like I felt like that was the superpower of this defense last year, and that's probably what it still needs to be in addition to pass rush. Oh, boy, let me not forget, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., their ability to get after quarterbacks, which also has been mitigated a little bit mm-hmm. with teams still getting those pressures, but at least getting the football out or escaping in ways so that those sacks aren't piling up in the biggest way necessarily. But takeaway-giveaway ratio is 26th for this team in the NFL. It feels like that needs to be higher. And again,
it needs to be a lot higher.
Through no fault of the defense's own, or maybe minimal fault to the defense's own, because part of that is the offense not really capitalizing, not protecting the football nearly as well as they need to. Mm-hmm. But I'm just looking at him like, damn, there might need to be some conversation. And it's not just the takeaways. It's also, and maybe more so, the leaky yards. Mm-hmm. We talked about the tackles. I was flabbergasted when, after a pretty solid first half, you came out from the second half and you just had missed tackle after missed tackle after missed tackle after a week where this was clearly a huge point of emphasis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that all ties together at some point. If you're not on the field very long, your defense is going to either be getting turnovers or just shutting down the opponent. Well, the fact that the opponent can stay on the field because of your missed tackles, that makes your defense more tired, more susceptible, gives up more points, the whole nine yards. So, no, I think this defense is good. I haven't changed my mind on that. This is a good defense. Look at the scoreboard. Shout out to D'Amico Ryans. You know, they've been close. They've held teams under 19 points. But that doesn't mean they're a great, dominant defense. And I think part of D'Amico's frustration is he was assuming turnovers. He was assuming a lot of sacks. He was assuming better tackling, and those three things just haven't happened.
And it feels like,
I mean, the pressures have been there, but
right. And it seems like with some of those things happening less, and fair, they're on the field a lot more. I see Sally mentioned
that's kind of what I'm saying.
They're on the field too much.
They're on the field a lot more,
but not even just through tackles. Through, I mean, you had, oh my God, I'm trying to remember which of them, because I think you had a couple of them, but a three and out that absolutely drove me insane by the offense. Mm-hmm. I think in the third quarter that then brings the defense back out here again, mm-hmm. and they're having to try and get out here and make more stops because the offense isn't carrying their weight. But we knew that some of that coming in. Obviously, you didn't expect to have three and outs that way. But I think on top of that, the leaky yards kind of show up. And because you're not getting as many turnovers and some of those other things, I think teams are showing that they're not as afraid of mm-hmm. this defense in certain ways. That's a little concerning. Like, There was a play in which you see a motion come across from the right side to the left side. Mm-hmm. They end up, you know, bumping coverage, and then you end up with Christian Harris in coverage on the slot guy on the left side. And then, boom, here's a route run where Christian Harris, or it's a wheel route, and Christian Harris is beat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bad ball by Trevor Lawrence, and I'm like, oof.
Yeah.
Teams are, and we see that, you know, obviously happened with Toa Toa early on. We see it with Petrie where they get these matchups, but it's happening with Christian Harris that we believe to be one of the better guys, or at least guys better situated to cover. And I go, our team's going to be able to pick apart this defense more, especially without some of the explosive defensive things that they can do without as many sacks, and then obviously without getting really turnovers. Is this going to be a place where now you see them move down the field, be able to pick their spots, hit these soft spots in the zone that I feel like are just available for 5 to 7 yards every play?
Mm-hmm.
And does that then put you in a really bad place?
And some of that is he's still a linebacker. Christian Harris is probably the better of those three choices you made in terms of coverage, but he's still a linebacker. And maybe part of it also is, you know, you're keeping three linebackers out on the field a lot. The matchups, the offensive coordinators tend to be very, very good, you know, present company excluded. But they tend to exploit these things, and they see the matchups and the Petries and all that. And the Toa Toa, he hadn't had a good year. I mean, just had
no. That's a good point.
Yeah, and that's something that you were counting on, and maybe D'Amico was counting on as well.
Yeah, I need to actually check what the snap count was for him and see how that shifted a little bit, and if it did. I mean, he's still going to be on the field as of this moment because they still seem to believe him. But I mean, he had 62 snaps himself defensively, which was like 90% of the snaps, basically, compared to like a EJ Speed who had 9 snaps, Christian Harris who had 8 snaps. So I would be interested to see if and when they'd be willing to maybe even those out a little bit and get some guys on the field a little bit more, especially considering I think you feel good about Christian Harris if he's not hurt, which he's not right now, right? So I'm surprised that they have not utilized that more, but we'll see how that goes. The other thing that I think about is the secondary. You've had some opportunities for big plays. And that's another thing that, you know, carries over as an issue that was there last year that's not that, I guess, has kind of carried over a little bit. Like, you had the Brian Thomas Jr. big play.
Yeah.
Because Kalen Bullock is weirdly at, like, linebacker depth as the only man who's not in man coverage, who's, like, kind of the free guy. And you sent 7 blitzers. This was actually D'Amico Ryans. He was asked, and you got this figure. This is 8 here. D'Amico Ryans asked about, like, the communication on the back end for this defense.
Wait, hold on. I had 6 ready.
Ah, my bad.
Well, and you know, obviously on the bad phone.
It is 6. It is 6. Sorry, that's right. How are you feeling about the communication on the defense on the back end?
Yeah, when you see a big play that happens on our defense, somewhere along the lines, there's a bust in communication. It all starts with communication, and right, it hasn't been as crisp as it needs to be. So we have to play better on the defensive side. We got to communicate better, and we got to execute the defense better. It's not been great. We see that. We have to make some adjustments there to make sure we get it corrected.
Look, man, there are some things that you can talk about with this defense that are still going to be there with the pressures on the edge, with you know, some of the big hitting. You mentioned C.J. Gardner-Johnson had a good game and all that.
I thought he did.
I did too. But when it comes down to the main things that you need to do, get the turnovers, cover the guys, win the matchups that they're trying to pick on, you're not doing that. I mean, they're picking on Petrie. And I just, you know, had a buddy, you know, text me, which I think is very, very valid. You know, on the other side of the ball, you know, you're talking about, you know, some of the explosive plays, which I mentioned earlier. You know, if Nico doesn't get that busted coverage and score on that big run, what are we talking about today? Because I think it completely changes. As bad as it is, we'd be talking about a team that was not in that close game, did not have that chance to win, and all of a sudden, you know, who knows where we are, but it's bad as it is.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That was just flat out stupid busted coverage that got Nico that ball.
There was a little double move in there early bit real hard on that. But
I think he was convinced he was going to bite.
Well, yes, yeah. But I think also that bite happens in part, and I think I said this to the fellas as we were watching the game together. I think part of the reason why that double move works so well on Nico with Nico Collins on the left side is teams have been sitting on underneath stuff for you.
That's what I'm saying. He was predetermined, I'm going to, and why not with this offense? This offense is so uncreative, so too safe, too predictable. D'Amico got a question about, you know, the route tree and all this stuff. To me, it's just the routes in general are just not, I mean, they're just like straightforward and try to go somewhere.
Yeah, so many things have.
Like, all they do, it's like almost like when you're playing backyard football or street football. Like you go straight that way, you go that way, and you go straight that way and cut inside. Like that doesn't fool any NFL defenses.
Yeah, so many of them have like really deep stems, like vertical stems, but then also like very deep, like
no
10,
picks,
15.
No, nothing. No crossers, no, you know, nothing. It's just like, it's like Nick Caley is running a street football game, all-time quarterback.
Yeah, that needs that's I'm looking forward to hopefully an opportunity at self-scout, a stronger self-scout, the ways that, you know, teams typically do at these big, you know, big moments or big markers in the season, because it's necessary. That offense is rudimentary at this point. That's very
That's the
clear.
Word I was looking for, rudimentary. 100%.
Can I bring you back to this defense, though, because what D'Amico said about the communication, the back end not being there surprised me. Mm-hmm. Can I be honest? Because I feel like defense is where communication works really well. There's not a lot of changeover in personnel. We believe strongly in Aziz as the green dot. And in that secondary, you have some real, you know, real veteran type play. But I do wonder why they are having these miscommunications at this point early on in the season, when it feels like this is a defense that should be really well joined together.
I remember what week before last, it was the eyes, you know, not the vision being off, looking at the wrong things. This week, it's the communication. At some point, they're going to stop talking about the players, man. And they're going to start talking about the coaches, because we're bearing in on that point.
And I always feel bad talking about the defense, because there are these things there.
They're good.
But they're still doing, I mean, they hold to 17 points in that last seven, although it may have come at some point. They let the last seven happen, right? So ultimately, they were holding to three with some help from the Jaguars dropping all these passes.
Yeah.
But you can't get more than 10 on the other side. Like, that ultimately still ends up being a big issue. But all of the things are up for, you know, reflection when you're 0-3.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I feel really bad right now. So you know what I think can cheer me up? And I might be doing the Texans offense thing where I make everybody sad, and I'm like, here, defense, get us right. We turn to the defense of the In the Loop show. Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so in honor of everybody with their wild takes and all that stuff about the Texans, what are some fancy ways to tell somebody they're dumb?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I actually got a top 10 list a different day.
My answer is crayon eater.
All right, let's call people dumb next.
Yes?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a reaction Monday. Happy Monday everyone out there. Been a lot of reaction on the text line and the YouTube chat and all that good stuff. And I've been seeing a lot of reactions on social media. And I think the great thing about watching the game in real time and looking at the real reactions, you've seen a lot of stuff. I just see Fire D'Amico.
Yeah.
I heard Kaylee shouldn't even get on the plane after this game.
Oh, they wanted to give the old Lane Kiffin treatment.
Gerard Johnson need to be calling plays next week. I seen it all,
man. Not next week.
What are you doing right now?
Yeah. You want to tell us something, man? So I've been hearing a lot of that, and some of it is, I ain't gonna lie, some of it is silly. I seen you got to bench Stroud and put in Mills.
I said that in confidence.
Yeah, so a lot of it, I'm like, all right, y'all, we could pump the brakes a little bit. I understand everybody kind of in the moment, but what are some funny ways to tell somebody they're dumb, or some fancy ways to tell somebody they're dumb? 713-572-4610. I actually have a list of 10.
Oh, okay.
Why did it not connect to me that this is what you were doing, is that you basically telling them folks that they dumb for saying that?
No, I'm not saying anything.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I'm not saying anything.
I didn't mean to say that.
So I want to see how many of these y'all say within the show.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the first one. It's clear you speak from the heart.
Oh.
Huh, okay. That's interesting. Because I would not have ultimately just automatically assumed that was calling somebody dumb.
Right now, give me a crazy Texans take right now.
Davis Mills needs to be starting quarterback, according to Reggie Atatula.
Well, it's clear you speak from the heart.
I feel like we just starting a sentence. You got to put something on the backside of that. Like, I know you believe that is basically what we're just saying. However,
yes.
... Mm-hmm.
What about this one? I admire your confidence and the lack of knowledge.
Oh, that's not subtle.
Oh, yeah. See, that one. You know what my favorite is, and I doubt it's on here? I don't even think I've really run this out here on these airwaves.
What's
but
that?
It's your God-given right as an American to be wrong.
Yeah.
I love that one. Like
it is.
It is your right as an American to be as wrong as you want to.
Yeah. It's your opinion, bro.
So you got it, brother.
What about this one? I don't want to fatigue your mind with particulars.
Yeah,
I like
see,
that one. Yeah,
I
like
bet you do.
Yeah.
That
I don't
want
to bore you with the particulars, but you're dumb.
Bore you with the particulars feels a little bit nicer for some reason.
Yeah. I don't mind that one.
What about this one? You certainly have a gift for
simplicity?
Yes.
You gift certainly have simplicity. The gift of simplicity. That's not even hiding it, is it?
Yeah, I don't think very many of these feel like hiding it.
Yeah.
But do you feel like it's a nice way to say
no,
it?
No, it's not nice. Because you're not even trying to sugarcoat it.
All right, what about this one? You have a unique way of looking at things.
That's a nice way to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that is a nice that's way to do it. I think we've hit.
So give me another here. Give me another crazy take right now with the Texans.
Well, I'll give you the one that I kind of hinted at earlier in jest, kind of. The Texans are kind of in the same neighborhood as they were with Jack Easterby right now.
Well, you have a unique way of looking at things.
That is unique.
Yeah, that definitely is unique. Yeah, that's fair. Ooh, some good ones starting to come in on the text line here from the 713. I wonder who ties your shoes in the morning.
Ooh, well, that's not subtle either.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's not subtle.
What about this one? I haven't considered that angle.
Are you quoting Reggie?
I was about to say, that sounds like something Reggie would say.
I'm mad because that does sound like awesome. But sometimes I genuinely had not considered that. And other times, I'm just trying to make this through.
Lopez, he was calling you dumb, man.
Of course he was. He's
calling you stupid.
Of course he was.
You bring a fresh perspective.
I don't mind this one, you know, because that if I'm the person that you're saying that to, I'm like, hey, I'm fresh.
What about this one? I think, Lopez, you use this one a lot. That's a bold statement.
That's a bold statement, Cotton. That's a bold statement right there.
That's a bold statement, cowboy.
Yeah, cowboy.
I do love, as a Nigerian, we're born with PhDs in insults. And one of the best insults I saw from a Nigerian ever was as follows. Common sense has been chasing you your whole life, but you're faster. Mwah. Just
that's something,
beautiful.
That's something I probably would have woke up 3 a.m. like, wait a minute.
Wait, what?
tried to play me.
I think that was an insult.
Hold on, man.
It sounds like some kind of proverb, like common sense has been chasing
me. Yeah, the next day, hey, I remember what you said to me yesterday, sucker?
Which doesn't help your case at all, right? You're like, well, I figured that out after a few hours.
Yeah, well, I caught the common sense, damn it.
Give him a call in the middle of the night.
I slowed down and the common sense caught up.
Yeah, I caught up to it.
I caught up to it.
What about this one? You certainly have a way with words.
Oh, well, I would just say, well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, so, yeah, salute to everybody with the crazy taste. Keep them coming in.
How are those crayons tasting? That's what I would say.
I did see someone said that they think they don't agree with somebody that pronounces crayons like that. And I'm like, I feel like everybody just has the different
pronouns.
Yeah, it's just a lot of different ways of saying it.
To me, it's crayon.
Crayons.
Yeah.
We're just talking about dialects now. We're just getting into various people's dialects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, it's the mixtape in the Loot Sports Radio System. Let's get into a little bit of crazy sounds from the weekend.
Oh.
And we brought this up, I want to say, probably around 12:40-ish. Old Dabo Sweeney.
Mm-hmm.
He was up at the podium. And right now, I want to say his team is 1-3. And
that is correct.
And correct me if I'm wrong, they started off a top 10 team.
That is also correct.
It was ranked like 8th, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But currently, they're 1-3, and I think he's feeling that fire.
Yeah, he is.
And here is his press conference. I want to say this was after the loss.
Was the week of this past week, before Saturday's game.
Yeah, okay, before. Okay, so here's him addressing the media. He has some things to get off his chest.
What's so bad about our program? What's so bad about it? Like, what's so bad about the worst season that we've had 14 years? How many programs in a college football
program
would sign up for one, and only once, 14 years of 9 wins? How many programs would sign up for that? In the playoffs, we all talk about, we've been 7 times in 10 years. Who can say that? If we stink because we haven't played for the national championship since January of 20, well, I guess we stink. Or we haven't won it since January of 19. We haven't won the national championship. Well, then I guess we stink. But why are we held to a different standard from all these other teams out there who ain't ever won nothing? If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on the way, because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I'm just asking. Is that good?
I'm just asking.
I don't know if that's good or not. To win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, to be in 4 national championships, win it twice.
That
reminds me of Bill O'Brien when he said,
I don't know.
4 to 5.
Yeah.
You know,
is that good? I don't know. Somebody help me out.
You know.
Yeah.
By the way, that was, again, that was last week.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, the Clemson Tigers took a, I was going to say a whooping. I don't know if I want to quite call it that. At home, mind you.
Yeah.
To Syracuse. That is a game.
It was in control the whole way.
This is Syracuse, not the Syracuse of the 80s or the 70s or something like that, right? This is Syracuse.
Modern day Syracuse.
Now.
Yeah. And not to mention, like I said earlier, they were a top 10 team to start the season.
That last part is what got him. That's what everybody's just pouncing on. Like, I don't know. Is that good?
I don't know. No, there's that. But there's
also,
like,
I guess, move on.
I guess if they don't want to win no more, which I do appreciate that, yes, he's not wrong in this regard. They have been very, very good under his tenure. But also, who said we got to win, and why are we just on a different standard? You!
Yeah, he did.
You have set the expectation that you guys were going to be championship-type contenders. And outside of a very relatively short window, actually, of actually winning it in the right after, did they win with Kelly Bryant? I can't remember. Right after that, you get like Trevor Lawrence, or actually Deshaun Watson is in there as well. Right in that window, you're good. Outside of that, we're like, hey, buddy, you out here rolling out DJ Uiagalelei, and then Cade Klubnik, who is highly regarded, has looked underperforming, and you had typically been very good at hiring coordinators, and that seems like it might be slowing down. Like, hey, man, these are questions that people are going to ask. These are questions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, as I continue on the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. So you guys are, I had like a couple people hit me up about their survivor pool.
Oh,
and
buddy.
How,
sorry for everybody who was doing that this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, it's a couple people picked Green Bay, man. And I thought that was a lock. I thought Green Bay was going.
Lopez, who'd you pick this week?
No, I'm out of it already. I was out.
You was out week one.
Week one.
Yeah. Oh, is that the case? I didn't know that.
Week one.
I had a couple people hit me up saying, man, Green Bay bleep me, man. Mm-hmm. I can't believe they lost that game. Guys curious to see or listen to how they actually lost the game?
Oh, yes.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so this is not a typo. This is completely real of the Cleveland Browns shocking the Green Bay Packers. I want to say it was like a couple seconds left in the game.
Daniel wheeling the hold. The kick is blocked. It is blocked. The Browns get the SWAT and turn the Packers away. Good snap. Good hold. The kick is on the way. The kick is good. The kick is good. And Andre Schmidt from 55.
Gold, tell it on the mountains. Over the hills and everywhere, yes, go tell it on the mountains. The Cleveland Browns have won.
Just once.
Hallelujah, man.
What?
Just once. I do love that they had some choir somewhere. Like they, we need to put this together for the time that it happens. It will.
When it does happen, and it yeah. will.
No, that was a hallelujah moment. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's some of the crazy sounds of the weekend, and I'm gonna get you guys out of here on this as I continue the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. I saw this, I wasn't sure what to think of it. I kind of got mixed emotions about this. So I saw this headline that says a man says his mother and sister still keeps in touch with his cheating ex-girlfriend, and they makes it very, very uncomfortable. And this is a little backstory on what happened. So the guy ended his 2-year relationship after learning about his girlfriend cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And it was revealed to him by another man involved. And he didn't really disclose what happened to the family and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But he found out that the family was still keeping in touch with the girlfriend. So now he had to come out and say, hey, look,
yeah,
I don't really feel y'all keep in touch with her because she did this. But they continue to keep in touch with the girlfriend.
Yikes.
How do you feel about that?
So son and brother is cheated on by this girl, and they stay in touch with the girl.
Yeah. They still got a relationship.
How
with
do I feel
girl.
About that?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm on his side on this. That's that. And I'm curious why they would, with her cheating on the lady's son and the other lady's brother, why would they want to stay in contact?
Yeah, see, because they're friends.
Yeah, see,
but they become friends.
But would they still be friends knowing that she cheated?
I don't know. Like I'm yeah. with you generally yeah. on the this feels like it's raw, but yeah. this is I think about the, you know, ex girlfriend that they broke up and it was just mutual and they were like, well, I still like her,
no,
so
but
I'm
she
not getting
cheated.
But
on
yeah, the cheating makes yeah. this kind of a weird circumstance. Yeah.
See, the thing is, I don't think the family knew what happened, and the guy had to come out and say, this is what happened.
But are they still
and so
friends
I think
with
they
her?
Still yeah, they're still
that's even worse.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a little tricky. It's crazy because my mom, she still keep in touch with my first ever girlfriend
mm-hmm.
from back in the day.
Yeah.
To the point I thought I was going to have a talking to her
mm-hmm.
because she was sending me the girl pictures of her kids and yeah. all that stuff.
Oh, see, yeah. that's reckless.
And I'm just like, ma.
Yeah.
Like, that girl is married with kids. I'm married with a dog.
Yeah.
I'm like, respectfully, I hope she's well and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't end on bad terms or anything like
yeah, she
that.
She didn't cheat on you.
But, nah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yo, I don't want to see her kids or nothing, man.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Nah, don't. So.
Yeah, I don't understand a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Once it's over, it's over, especially if she cheats on him.
Yeah, and I feel like the family should have some type of loyalty, too. Even if it's like, you ain't do anything bad to me, but out of respect to my son, I can't really rock with you on a personal level.
You put it better than I did.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's a mixtape.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm reading the various different ways that people have called people not so smart. 281 said, po, dang. From the 346, you don't know your butt from the hole in the ground. Let's see. Somebody said, I don't want to indulge in your ignorance as a statement. From the 832 in the South, we call them colors. That's about the crayons. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, you ate a lot of paste in high school, huh? Or in school, huh? All that book knowledge, no common sense is something that they throw up here. 832, I realize reality might not be your thing. That's rough. All right, y'all. Yeah. Man, y'all.
There's a fishing one, like when you have a bad day.
Is there?
Couldn't catch my butt with both hands.
What? Hadn't heard that one before. And I'm not going to put it in my lexicon, I'm going to be honest, because that one is going to weird me out more if I say it. Anyways, all right. That's the mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. We're getting ready to hand things over to the drive on this Reaction Monday. But before we get there, I want to react one more to this. The Astros obviously went down pretty meekly. Did this series tell us that their time is over? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.
Wait, what did you just say to me?
Jackson Dart time, baby.
Oh, because Brian Daboll, head coach of the Giants.
He's making the move?
No, he left the door open.
He left the door open,
which
of course,
means he's making a move.
You think so?
Well, maybe not this week, but certainly.
Nah, that means he's going to make the move in the game.
Maybe.
If Russell threw two picks in the first half.
Yeah,
I think you might see Jackson Dart.
Yeah, possibly. I thought from the start of the season that they would wait until week five. I've been amazed that people have been like, oh, there's not a good landing spot for him if you don't start him at the start of the season. And I was like, they have the Chargers next week, the Giants do. But week five is they have the Saints now on the road in New Orleans, but the Saints nonetheless.
Doesn't matter.
Before they get Eagles, Broncos on the road, Eagles on the road, Niners, which, look, that's not a fun stretch at all. But I'm like, hey, if you're going to get him in there, he's going to play football at some point. You can start him with the Saints, though.
It would make sense.
It does feel like that.
But the thing is, Daboll feeling that heat now, and so he could be a dead duck. So he need to win. He probably looking at, hey, I need to win. Need to win ASAP.
Yeah,
possibly. I did see this: the pass block grades for the offensive line, at least the starters, because I don't see Juice Scruggs' numbers here. Ariante had a 35, for whatever it's worth. Again, Pro Football Focus, take it with a grain of salt if you so choose.
Take it with a big grain of salt.
There you go.
It still ain't great.
Lake and Tomlinson a 24. Oh. Again, all these are out of 100, remember. Oh. Jake Andrews a 70.4.
All right, Jake.
Ed Ingram with a 50.9. And then Titus Howard a 68.2.
Okay.
This is very...
false starts?
I imagine so, yes. Yeah. I believe so. So, yeah, real rough looking at the offensive line. And considering Blake Fisher is not active. Lakin Thomason was somebody that you paid for, right? You spent money. Cam Robinson, did you ever have a thought during this game of like, hey,
no,
you were just like, hey, let Tay get out there, or at least just help him out with the chip that never came?
I said this before, I think Ursary is more of a symptom of the bad decisions they've made with the offensive line. Cam Robinson is one of them. Trent Brown is one of them. You know, the Jake Andrews, even though he graded out the best yesterday, you know, these are all the Ed Ingram, Lakin Tomlinson, you know, Ursary being at left tackle as a second-round pick, which, okay, you have hopes for a second-round pick, but he's not like a top 10, top 15 pick where you can pencil him in as a starter. Well,
they said that they were trying to make moves. They're just trying to make moves.
But no, this is he is a symptom of some bigger issues on the offensive line.
Speaking of symptoms of bigger issues, Astros. They got swept in three games versus the Mariners at home, finished out their home stand and finished out their games at home during the regular season of this 2025 season. And now they go on the road with a three game deficit in the division and being tied in the AL wildcard race while also not having the tiebreaker between themselves and the Cleveland Guardians.
It's all stacked up against them.
Yeah. And with all that stacked up, did this series basically just shut it down for the Astros? Is their time done at this point?
I think what it did for me is it kind of told me, and maybe I'm asking, did it tell you that the time is winding down? Like the Astros window, as much as they've managed to keep it propped open, not only because of the way they look, but because the Mariners all of a sudden looked like a team that was hungrier. and I know that's a cliche, but you see it in teams. The Astros were a very hungry team for a lot of years, and you could see it. But they were hungrier. They were much more talented offensively. They had much better pitching. They had clutch pitching. They had clutch bullpen. They were outmanaged. They didn't make mistakes. They played defense. They were clearly very, very, you know, very much the better team start to finish, better equipped. The Mariners.
Is that all?
Yeah, all that.
Okay. It was just that.
They had all that on the Astros. I mean, would you disagree with any of it?
I don't think so. I'm not going to lie. My eyes started glazing over after a while because that list was hella long, which, again, that kind of points to the point. The only things that I think of in maybe some level of defense of the Astros, and look, I recognize at this point, I think I'm playing devil's advocate here, and my mom would always say devil don't need no advocate. But you've dealt with literally the most injuries for a team in Major League history, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Does that at all give you some, because I mean, there's definitely some aging on this roster, but some of the, you know, big load bearing portions of this team have missed significant parts of the season. And so it does make me wonder, like, okay, how much grace do you give them there for still being in it while also doing all that? But
yeah,
you are looking at a Framber Valdez that is on his way out. Like, best case scenario, you see him maybe one or two more times in the postseason. Even then, I don't know how excited you are about the possibility of that with how it's gone in the back half of the season, looking at his win-loss record and so on and so forth. But then you might have just seen him for the last time in Houston. And then what does your pitching look like going forward? Because you have Hunter Brown, and then either a whole bunch of dudes that have come back off injury not really look like themselves, or just general question marks pitching wise. Your guys in the field are getting older, and then your pen, I don't know what you have there. Like, this is a real dicey proposition for the Astros as they continue to try and prop open the window, and I don't know how far you go, especially when you look at one of your $20 million dollar addition in Christian Walker.
Mm-hmm.
He looks bad. I'm sorry.
Well, it just struck me as when I was looking at this series, just kind of the totality of it. One team looked like it was ascending, and one team looked like it was descending.
You talking about the football game or the baseball
Astros,
game?
Astros and Mariners.
Okay, sorry.
The
my
Mariners
bad.
Are an ascending team.
I
don't think there's any question about that. The Astros are still going to have some pieces that are going to still entertain us, still win some games, but they are descending.
We need to change the mentality.
Whether there's injuries
is that what you're
or
saying?
Not. Yeah,
enjoy baseball. Enjoy a day at the ballpark.
Like I said, hell, they might make the playoffs this year and next, but they are a descending team. And I think, you know, you can go back. I think Clint Sterner, actually, and they're in studio right now, kind of has a good grasp of this. You know, when the Cowboys were the Cowboys and doing amazing things.
What was that, 35 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Clint Sterner comes in.
Don't make me that old, man.
Then you come in and you're a part of that. There were still pieces there, names, but they were descending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.